Well, there was a lot of opining in the weekend media, and a lot of that opining was about Ngati Mtetwa and the 22.5 million rand monumental flag, which he said was something which was going to be thoroughly reviewed, and which Cyril Ramaphosa said at a gathering of the Black Business Council at a dinner in Johannesburg over the weekend was something which was finished, was cancelled. Why he thought it appropriate to giggle about it, I'm not quite sure. I mean, he thought it immensely funny that he had to tell Ngati Mtetwa that his brilliant flag idea was a non-starter. And you ask yourself the question. The cabinet agreed to this. Ngati Mtetwa went to the cabinet and he said, this is a proposal that we're working on. I think it's part of my department's mandate to do this kind of thing. This is something that we've come up. And the cabinet all said, yeah, good idea. Until the chattering started, and then the cabinet went, ooh, not such a good idea, and giggled and told him to pack the idea away in a bottom drawer. And the only bit of opinion that I really enjoyed reading about this matter over the weekend, because the rest was kind of rehashing old ground, was the one penned by Lindiwe Mazibuko in the Sunday Times, co-founder and CEO, a future elect, and obviously a Sunday Times columnist. And she drew a comparison between the way South Africa is choosing to sort of, inculcate South African culture and export it to the world and make money out of it and create jobs out of it with what they have done in South Korea. Lindiwe joins us now. Lindiwe, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your time.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
I mean, I just actually hadn't thought about South Korea at all, but as I started reading your column and, read about K-pop and how successful that has been, and I sort of thought it was organic, but what you made me think about was the fact that it wasn't organic. It didn't sort of, flash out of nowhere. This was part of a government philosophy, a government program.
Yeah. It's amazing what governments can do when they're imaginative, when they're modern, and when they're willing to take, I wouldn't say risks, because there was evidence even before 1990 when the Korean government formed the Ministry of Culture that their pop music was popular, at least in Asia. But to take a chance on the creative output of your people because you understand that it has got a pull in your own region and think to yourself, okay, well, in the U.S., this is how they model exporting culture. What if we did the same? What if we made an investment in what is actually an incredibly diverse, modern, energetic, national culture, and they've paid dividends for that country and continues to do so today.
Yeah, when I hear something like the Ministry of Culture, the hairs on the back of my neck stand out and I shrivel in fear. But but it hasn't been that kind of Soviet Ministry of Culture approach at all.
Not at all. It's actually now called the Ministry of, I believe, Sports, Arts and Culture. They've had similar kind of to-ing and fro-ing with sports, arts, culture, tourism. Sorry, it's actually now arts, culture and tourism. All the things that you do, that you eat, that you talk about, the music you listen to, one of the things I realized is I've been listening to K-pop since like 2014. I found bands that I've been listening to for years as part of my research. And I was like, I didn't even know this was Korean music. But of course, between that and Korean food, kimchi and cinema, we all know somebody who loves Korean drama on Netflix and so forth. All of these things are calculated moves by the state. And once I did the digging, it's simple stuff. The government's job is to facilitate economic participation. So one of my favorite policies that they have in Korea is they have got a model of liberalizing supply chains and entertainment. So I don't know how many people know this, but the cartoons that you usually watch, whether it's South Park or The Simpsons or whatever, they used to be animated in the United States. They're now animated in South Korea because the government created a model whereby they could liberalize creative production and sell that production to other markets while still maintaining intellectual property rights and copyrights so that they could keep selling the creative output to other to other programs, organizations, institutions, and so forth. So Korea doesn't just produce its own culture. It's also part of the supply chain for other countries that are producing their own culture.
But hey, come on. Top Gun Maverick was filmed in KwaZulu-Natal. Aren't we doing the same thing?
No, we're not. So one of the things that tends to happen when we export sort of the so-called culture of our country is we say Cape Town can stand in for Dublin. or Johannesburg can stand in for such and such. Top Gun and The Avengers, which I cited in my column, are some of the few movies where, you know, there's a little chyron on the screen that says, you know, Johannesburg, South Africa. And as I pointed out, even then, people don't know how to pronounce it, because for them, it's the first time they're even reading that word, because the government of that country, which has an extraordinary story to tell, hasn't put any kind of muscle in terms of intellectual muscle, partnership, fundraising, and so forth, to actually get that culture out there. And this idea that these things happen organically, they don't happen organically. It requires investment and deliberation between the private and the public sector. But as with all these things, innovation moves faster and more effectively when governments are willing to put themselves and their muscle behind it. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have people filming, you know, all the way through summer. As you know, in Cape Town, you know, it's well known as a market for film productions. But how many of those are actually set in Cape Town? And in how many instances is Cape Town actually substituting for another more well-known city in the world, or substituting for some kind of like supernatural or superhero kind of invented world? So part of culture is actually teaching people about Cape Town and saying, you know, this is a place where you can set a rom-com, or you can set a film about conservation, or whatever it may be, beyond just saying you can use it to substitute for other cities.
Lindy, we have to, obviously, as with any talk radio station, we discussed it a lot. And there was a suggestion from a listener, which was, instead of spending 22.5 million rand on a feasibility study and then erecting a monumental flag and doing good for the steel industry, why is the Department of Arts and Culture doing good for the steel industry? Shouldn't that be the province of the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition? But anyway, you know, the listener said, choose 22 different artists, different artistic genres, different approaches mm-hmm. to art, give them each R1 million, and get mm-hmm. them to come up with something which reflects their approach to what they think South African culture is. You exhibit that, you travel the country, you travel the world, and you say, this is what South African artists think of mm-hmm. what South African culture is. And I thought, that's still the best suggestion I've heard.
Look, and the thing about the 22 million rand is, it's not a substitute for a fully fledged government strategy, which is partnered with those in the industry who know how things work best. It's not a substitute to say, like, let's take the 22 million and do something else with it. That alone isn't going to push South Africa's ability to actually share the richness and diversity of its culture with the rest of the world. It has to be part of a broader economic strategy. You're absolutely right. DTI and arts and culture need to split their mandates very clearly. Things like IP and copyright belong in arts and culture. And things like industrialization and manufacturing, to the extent that they don't relate to IP and copyright, have to stay in DTI, because the areas of specialization are completely different. You know, one is knowledge economy, and the other is the manufacturing economy. You cannot run these two things in the same way. But in terms of reallocating budget, yes, we should be. I mean, do you remember that all over the world, about 3 or 4 years ago, people were dancing to Jerusalem? Like, we were dancing to it, and then suddenly people had made up a dance. It was happening in Spain and France and Italy, and like, nobody knew why. Like, we have all these exports. You know, we've got Trevor Noah, we've got La Duma, who's busy, you know, swanning about Cannes right now. We didn't send him there, right? He was sent there by, I think, LVMH or some other luxury brand. The founder and head designer of Makosa. Like, we have all this amazing South African culture and innovation that is latched onto by people outside our country. And when that happens, they become part of the economies of those countries. So what we have to do is, we have to license content from Trevor Noah in the United States. We have to pay into the US GDP to be able to watch one of our own, who was practicing his craft in this country for years before he left, because we didn't have the vision or the ability to actually create a pathway and create a market, both domestically and then regionally and then internationally, for him, that could enable him to reflect that culture better. And now other people are paying.
For saying, Lindiwe Mazibuko, co-founder and CEO of Future Elect, a columnist at the Sunday Times.